Hey, everybody, I'm Jill.
And this is Mel.
And this is Mel and Jill Geek Out. Hi, Mel.
Hey, Jill. It's Tortured Poets Department Eve.
Yay! Well, I guess by the time this airs, it will be out. So,
yes, we will not be listening to this episode. We will be listening to the new album.
Yes, hands down.
I have it pre-saved on Spotify.
Same. Absolutely.
I'm going to literally wake up in the morning and immediately push play.
Same. Absolutely. I got to figure out who was right with all their Easter egg theories and...
There's so many. Did you see that we got our last word?
Yes. Yes.
So she's been doing this whole like unscramble thing and we have the full phrase now.
Yeah.
We conduct. Oh gosh, I forget what it was.
Something postmortem.
Hang on. I texted it to you because I was a crazy person. In all caps, we now conduct this postmortem.
Yes.
So for those of you who may not know, postmortem is like a medical thing of like what happened after a patient passed away.
Yes.
So the death of this previous relationship.
Should be interesting.
I'm excited. And then the 2 p.m. drop today. I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed.
I'll be honest. I had a very busy day today. Is it the single CD? Is that what it is?
No, it was just the fact that Fortnite with Post Malone is the first single off the album.
Gotcha.
I was like very convinced that it was going to be like a music video or something like that. No, just confirming something everyone already suspected.
Yeah, but the whole Fortnite thing is one of the Easter eggs that I've theories that I've seen floating around too. So it could mean more than that.
Yeah, it could. But like, I'm still annoyed. I wanted a music video.
It comes out tomorrow at like 8 Eastern, right? I think that's what it is.
The music video?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow at 8 Eastern.
Well, I'll be in a meeting, so.
No, 8 p.m.
I'll be in. Oh, no, I won't be in a meeting
at 8 p.m. I would hope not on a Friday afternoon. Evening.
I will be asleep because I have to work on Saturday, too.
Ew, that's not fun.
Because, yes, sorry, everyone, that this episode is a little late. I have a big girl job that actually pays my bills that made me work till very late at night yesterday.
Yeah, that's okay. I was sick last week. You've got your thing this week. Yeah, it's all right.
This is like, we don't do a lot of Wednesday events. So.
Yeah.
It works out.
So. There's not been very much BPR news either.
I've seen some clips of stuff on TikTok. And it's made me think that this might not be a filler episode.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of people say it was like a really not great episode.
See, I've heard it's not great because it's going to make everybody mad. Because everyone is dumb in this episode. They let their idiot flags fly.
But when do they not?
True. I'm not saying that's not true. They are... This cast of characters is not always, you know, the brightest crayons in the box.
Agreed. They're fun and they're entertaining.
So entertaining. The only thing that I really miss right now from Jax being a regular on the show is that when his talking heads, he would always talk his way into a paper bag.
Yeah.
And production would have to help get him out.
Absolutely. But we also got some like phenomenal tea from it. him just painting himself in a big old corner. So sometimes it's beneficial for the viewer, at least.
Yeah, Jax is like the definition of entertaining, though.
He is definitely a reality star to his bones.
He is very good at that.
Definitely. So mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to do when he's like old and not entertaining anymore.
Comment on other things and be like, back in my day, he's going to be a curmudgeon. He's going to be the guy sitting on his front porch with his cane, shaking it at all the youngsters on their bicycles riding by.
I used to be a reality TV star.
I was the number one guy in the group. But yeah, I mean, he's Jax Taylor.
Yeah. So. Brittany seems to be a lot more serious in the interview she's doing about the bullshit he was pulling.
He was doing some dumbass shit. I think it was Schwartz and Katie? No, it wasn't Katie. Schwartz and someone else from the show were on Watch What Happened Lives. Oh, Kristen Doty.
Okay.
They were on Watch What Happened Lives, and Andy asked both of them, like, does he think that they are for real going to be broken up, or does he think that, do they think that they're going to get back together? And both of them were like, no, we think Brittany's done.
So you're ready to get into the episode?
Yeah, let's see what this episode has to bring us. Tonight's episode is called How Do You Like Them Apples?
Nobody has a Boston accent. It's not going to be as good.
I can't do accents, so
I'm not about to either.
So sorry, folks. You're going to have to ask Google to read that aloud for you as a Bostonian accent.
Just watch Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, still not going to be able to do a Bostonian accent.
Not you. I'm saying, like, audience, go watch it if you want to hear the Bostonian accent.
Yeah, I feel like Google Translate will do it for you.
You think so?
I feel like. I'm not going to actually Google it because I don't care that much. But if not, you know, it's Google. They'll probably find a way to have accents get chosen as part of Google Translate.
That would be cool. That'd be cool.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. That would be the next, like, TikTok meme.
Absolutely.
Having you just read, like, Taylor Swift lyrics in crazy accents.
Oh, goodness. I would like to hear that, actually.
Well, there you go. New TikTok content idea.
True. Ready?
Yes, let's go do this.
So we're back.
We sure are.
We're going to start with Good as Gold.
Riding the 10-year one-hit wonder train.
Was it a hit?
It was out long enough to go platinum.
That's fair. Was it really?
Yes. At some reunion, she had like the thing and showed it to Andy.
Interesting. Yeah, I wasn't that guy. I mean, like,
she's not even singing. The band is singing.
Yeah.
It.
I mean, her voice track is on it, but like,
she's not a good singer.
She's not bad singer.
She
used
to not be a good singer.
Yeah, she's not a bad singer.
She's not bad when she has auto-tune.
Yeah.
She's not good without auto-tune.
Fair. Aren't most people good with auto-tune, though?
Most people are not. But, like, this is why they give recording contracts to people who are good without auto-tune.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, Katie bails. Sheena thinks it's because she's avoiding Lala.
Or she could have been actually sick.
It's possible. I don't know.
We don't know because we haven't heard from Katie. No. So,
Ariana and Lala start asking Sheena if she listened to the podcast. Sheena says she hasn't listened to it, but I don't know.
People have been texting her things.
Yeah. I'm not sure I buy that.
I think that I'm assuming they're referencing the Bethany Frankel. No. Are they referencing Rachel Goes Rogue?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. They're, I mean, I don't know for 1,000%, but what they're saying that she is saying, because they're kind of spilling a little bit, obviously not in like massive detail, but yeah, it was, I'm like 99% sure it was the Rachel Goes Rogue initial one.
Well, I also won't be listening to that, so.
Actually, didn't Sheena say to Ariana, like, I know we're jumping ahead here. Didn't she say to her, like, oh, episode 4 comes out next week or something? So maybe it wasn't the initial one.
I think they were talking, she was like, there was 3 parts.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm going to release part 4, and it's like the new song that she wrote about.
Oh, so they were talking about Sheena's podcast?
No, I don't think they were. I think they were saying she was releasing part 4, a.k.a. this song. That was, yeah, it was like funny. She was like making a joke of the fact that like there was 3 parts of whatever this podcast was, whether it was.
Yeah, whichever one. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and they're like, the episode title for the 4th part was How About Them Apples, and her song is called Apples.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was trying to place the episode, but so they're jumping back and forth between this and Allie and James kind of also discussing the podcast. That's basically the topic between everybody.
Yeah, I think, shock and awe, James and Allie handled this conversation a lot better.
Yeah, I agree. She blames Hippie's behavior on James,
which we all know.
Yeah.
I think it takes 2 to make a crazy dog.
Yes, but he seems to be a much better dog owner than he was. I mean, but this is the show, so who knows?
This is the show, but I don't think Allie would allow Hippie to stay with Mr. Banks in the home if the dog was truly misbehaving.
Yeah. So the other, like, they're going into, Allie and James go into a little bit more detail than the other ladies do. They're just kind of like skimming things. Mm-hmm. But they also talk about how Ariana, Raquel was saying she and Ariana aren't friends. And I think mm-hmm. both groups kind of were like, that's not the case. And I believe Ariana, like, Raquel was all over her Instagram on mm-hmm. and off camera, like on and off season.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ariana would have brushed any of that off, like the weird bullshit that like rumors and stuff, had she not been close friends with Raquel.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Raquel was trying to do damage control and is still got residual pathological liar in her.
Yeah, for sure. Agreed. So then Ariana asks if she, no, excuse me. Lala asks Ariana if she can use her house for her sperm donor party.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariana says no, and says it's like an absolute wreck.
Which it is.
It is. But
I don't think she said no because she wouldn't have hosted Lala's sperm donor party. I mm-hmm. think she doesn't want to have those kinds of things inside the house that she still shares with Tom Sandoval. That is very, very fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. But also, can I just throw this out there? You know that this was, you have to, I mean, it was definitely decided before these conversations happened.
Yes.
No way are you hosting a party and then asking someone days before if you can have it at their house. Like, that had to have been well planned out.
Because jumping ahead to when she asks Lisa mm-hmm. to use her house, and it's like literally the next day, but she has catering and balloons and all of these deliveries lined up. And I'm like, this has been lined up this way since the beginning.
Absolutely.
Because they haven't spent that much time with Lisa this season. Mm-hmm. So,
but she's like rarely in the season. She was in a lot more early on, but as the show's gone on, she's in it less and less because she's not involved in their lives anymore. Not the way she used to be.
No, she's not their boss really anymore.
Exactly. I mean,
so like, yeah, I think she probably genuinely cares about these people and like, you know, wishes them well for the most part, but she's on the show because it's named after her.
No, she's the AP. She was the like one of the original, like
for sure. The show is still named after her. Yeah, and that is exactly why she's on the show.
Yeah. But she was kind of like, she was Jax without like the ego. She really did kind of bring the show to Bravo.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I 100% believe that. She's like, I have this restaurant with all these hot people and they sleep with each other all the time. This will make great TV.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when, you know, a current cast member at the time of Beverly Hills, her ex-husband's mistress was also one of the servers.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wonder if Lisa hired her specifically for that.
I mean, she was relatively new when the episode started. Maybe. Maybe. Diabolical.
I know.
I wonder.
To be Lisa Vanderpump.
Maybe she's like a little mini Taylor Swift in herself, in her own right. Mastermind.
Yes, absolutely.
So then we jump to Villy Valid. Good Lord, I can't talk today. Valley Village.
I was going to say, what is Villy Valid?
Yeah. I don't know. I totally said it backwards. Valley Village Apartments. Mm-hmm. I need to clarify because we're at Schwartz's.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a house. So Sandoval comes over and is complaining about the podcast. And he's emotional because he's like, she never loved me. I would have done anything for her. Does this all sound very familiar to you?
Yeah, I feel like he said that about Ariana on multiple occasions.
Yep.
I don't believe his crocodile tears.
I don't either. He might have been a little sad initially, but I don't buy that you're still like, no. You knew that when she got out of her mental health facility, she didn't call you. She didn't text you. She hasn't reached out. Like, you absolutely should have deduced that it was over.
I think he knew it was over. I think he was surprised that she walked everything back from the entire situation. Like, she didn't continue with the narrative that they were in love and they couldn't resist each other. Like, she took all of that back. And I think that's the part he's sad about, because it's like he'd woven what he thought to be this fascinating narrative that would ultimately be his get out of jail free card. And she's the one who landed on free parking and got all the money.
Yeah. I saw a thing on TikTok about this, and it's related to the house. Because you know how we're jumping ahead again, but he is like having second thoughts about keeping the house. One,
yeah,
you should have fucking known that if you refinance, you get a brand new interest rate. So
no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Two, people are suggesting that he was banking on Raquel moving in with him, which is why he was fighting so hard to keep the house.
That's disgusting, though. Like, I see that. I, like, wouldn't put that past him, but that's gross.
It is. I hope it's not true. I will never know, ever.
We'll never know.
But it seems incredibly plausible because, of like, if you sent a letter with your lawyer or real estate agent, like, you had to have some kind of real estate professional involved to pick your valuation, unless he was just an idiot and pulled it off Zillow. But like,
would we put it past him to do that?
No.
He probably wouldn't even do Zillow. He'd do like Redfin or something.
Probably. But the point is like, if any real estate person worth their salt, if they're like trying to help you keep this house, that like, they definitely would have told him that.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to have a secondary income because there's another person who's going to go in on the loan with me. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that's the only way that shit flew.
Yeah. He wouldn't be able to afford that house by himself.
No.
Not with the way they're describing their money problems.
Exactly. And justice for Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to let him buy the fucking house.
Yep.
He didn't actually have the finances to do it, but.
Yep.
So that means she could have been out of that house significantly sooner.
The other thing is, too. I totally spaced.
Do we want to go back to Sandoval coming over to Schwartz's house and crying?
Honestly, I mean, what else is there to say?
Can we?
I don't buy it.
I don't buy that entire interaction.
I think Schwartz is tired of hearing it, though.
I think Schwartz is like, oh, kind of over it.
Yeah. His response.
Because he's like, yeah, his response was like, well, you didn't really think it was still going to happen. So. Yeah,
he's like, it's been over.
Because then Sheena and Brock go over to Ariana's house.
We skipped over Tom Tom.
Oh, no, I thought those kind of like happened like at the same time. Oh, no, because Logan. Never mind.
Yeah.
Which I had to ask, is this the same Logan as earlier in the show?
Sure, yeah.
And you said, oh, my God, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is. So the Toms are supposed to meet Lisa at Tom Tom. At 1:15.
Brunch cocktails.
To go over like, brunch literally cocktails. Literally
their only contribution to Tom Tom is cocktails.
And they're late. Not even, like not a little late. A lot okay. late.
Schwartz was like maybe 5 minutes late.
I don't
like,
think
Lisa
she,
rolled yeah. in and then Schwartz will
was like shortly
he
after.
Was not, like he was not far behind her.
Mm-hmm. Sandoval was like though. Half an hour late. That's so rude.
It's so unprofessional.
It really is. Like, listen, I'm a chronically late person. I acknowledge that, but it's not usually more than five.
Yeah. But like, how late was he to Nick Viall's podcast? Like hours.
Hours. Yeah. And then tried to gaslight Nick Viall into like, oh, that's not the time we said. It's supposed to be this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Such a fucking liar. Anyway.
Sandoval's a liar.
Lisa asks about the pod. He's still upset. And then they kind of get into a little tiff about it.
So she's like, why are you listening to it? And he's like, I'm going to torture myself for it. I'm like, you are not a martyr here.
No, I think what he said about, I want to know what's being said about me was the actual reason.
You don't have to listen to the podcast to get a recap of what is being said.
True.
I think he's listening to it himself so he can be a little martyr and be sad.
Yeah. Also, again, he mentions the whole like, I'm having second thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you
like,
can't afford
I'm
it.
I'm not sure if I want to buy the house anymore. I was like, well, A, you can't afford it. And B, you can't move your affair partner in with you into your house that you used to have with your long-term girlfriend.
Do you think that Ariana suspected that? And that's partially why she refused to like accept his offer initially. I mean, I know it took her a long time, but
potentially. I think because, you know, all of that happened like right after everything broke. And I think, in all honesty, I think initially she was just being petty. Like, you broke yeah. this home, you don't get to keep it.
Yeah. I believe it. But I think after a while, I genuinely feel like she was getting advice not to leave the house. Don't accept these offers. You need to do X, Y, and Z first. Because I think whatever she sent him was probably bulletproof. Because Sandoval was crying over any podcast that would take him. Talking about how Ariana's petty and he sent her a good offer and all this bullshit. It's like, if that was true, she would have accepted it. And if you thought she was being that fucking petty, you wouldn't have accepted her offer.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, that's what it was. The latest bullshit is, you remember how not that long ago Sandoval said that Ariana owes him $90,000?
Mm-hmm.
He's put a lien on the house, so now they can't sell it. Yeah.
I'm for those of you who are enjoying this in an audio format, I'm literally like so frustrated. Why would you, that fucks his credit too? They own that house together.
Yep.
How stupid are you?
Yeah, he's an idiot. Absolute idiot. I also don't believe that. I don't believe that she owes him $90,000. I mean, Aline
would be public record, so.
No, but you can file it. But I guess my thing is like, I don't buy it. Where's the proof?
He probably doesn't have the receipts for the 90 grand.
Yes, agreed. So then Lala shows up to Tom Tom, and this is where she asks,
Why is she there? They're making cocktails. She doesn't drink.
I genuinely think it's to ask Lisa about the baby shower. Because Lisa says to her, what do you want to talk to me about?
Mm-hmm.
So, but obviously, like we said, this is a production setup. This was obviously planned.
Yeah. So Lisa obviously says yes.
Yeah. But she made a joke about people jerking off in her backyard. I was like, I couldn't believe she said that. It caught me off guard.
Nothing surprises me about Lisa Vanderpump.
She has always made like incredibly provocative jokes.
She does.
Yeah.
She likes herself a good raunchy joke.
She does. She absolutely does. So now we're going to jump to Ariana's house, mm-hmm. where Brock and Sheena show up as mom and dad / cleaning crew.
Yeah, I kind of am with Ariana. Like, I don't like living in a mess either, but that's not her stuff. And she doesn't want to cause any kind of like, where'd you move my stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Nonsense. So she's just like, not going to touch it.
Yeah. I think you could throw, I mean, not her, but like, I think if it's Sheena and Brock, they could get away with throwing trash away because that seems to be what, at least partially, what they're throwing away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like throwing away trash, and like Sheena put bottled waters in the fridge, and she's like, who likes room temperature water? And
right.
I'm like, no one.
No one. But I think Sheena is secretly enjoying this. She.
It's not a secret.
She's very much enjoying this, running around, letting her OCD run wild.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wild, which, you know, it's going to a good purpose, but yeah, she's definitely
having a good time.
Yeah, having a good time
cleaning and organizing.
Yes. Yeah,
ordering Brock around.
He seems to take it on the chin. I wonder if it's like that, like
at home,
like if it's really like that, or if this is, you know, mini production going on.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, when she's in cleaning mode, maybe he's just like, I'll do whatever she tells me. It's the easiest way to not get yelled at.
Probably. That's really it. Like, we're 20 minutes into the show already. And
mm-hmm.
so far, I am underwhelmed.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be more fallout from the Rachel podcast that we just haven't seen yet.
Maybe.
I don't know. Should we go check out what's coming up, though?
Yes.
All right. Let's do this.
Oh, you're watching. She just kept saying how bad Tom's band was. Oh, my God.
It's true. That was terrible.
I don't know if it was the band per se. I don't think that they were bad. I think Tom made them sound way worse than I think they actually are.
There was a lot going on. Like, I'm not saying that they individually are bad performers. As a collective, with Tom Sandoval at the helm, they are not good.
Yeah, definitely not my cup of tea.
No, I would not pay money to hear them because my ears deserve better.
Oh, yeah. I did really enjoy the conversation between James and Sandoval.
I love James.
Yeah. I'm
at this point.
Andy Cohen, you're so wrong. The voice of reason is
fucking James.
James and Allie. Mm-hmm. James and Allie. I'm excluding Ariana in this because I do think, and Katie actually, mm-hmm. they are not acting fucking ridiculous. They're acting
they're also
exactly who they are.
Precisely. But like James and Allie are actually engaging with Tom Sandoval.
Yes.
And still holding him accountable, because that ultimately, like, I think James went in there like to try to genuinely see if Tom would have a normal human reaction, and Tom got all spun up. And so James is like, fuck this shit, and walked away. Like,
absolutely.
Why is it everyone's favorite insult to tell James to just keep clicking keys on his keyboard? Like, A, it is more difficult than that to be a DJ. B, he is a good DJ.
Yeah. And
he played Coachella.
Yep. I don't know if they address it on this episode, but he's been saying this the whole fucking show. How his goal was to play Coachella, and he did it in front of motherfucking Taylor Swift of all people.
He did a remix of Cruel Summer in front of Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. There's a nice little video where she's kind of rocking out, and then he does his thing, and she kind of whips her head over at him. So, I mean, it was a short video. I don't know if there's much more than that. That's what I saw.
That's all I saw.
Yeah, it was. Talk about like manifesting and achieving your dreams. Like, good for you, James.
100%.
Yeah.
And him, like, I guess Sandoval had asked him to open for him at El Rey, which is a pretty famous venue in LA. And he's like, fuck you, I'm above that.
Yeah. He really is. Like, Sandoval's band thing is a joke. I don't know anyone who is actually serious about it, other than the crazy people who think
it's a cover band. It's not.
But I like cover bands. I like cover bands. But he's like not good. Yeah.
He's not good.
No.
He doesn't do anything interesting. I remember I was at this beer fest in San Diego, and I don't remember the name of the band, but they were a no doubt cover band. And this girl was pitch perfect for Gwen Stefani.
Love it. Love it.
You wouldn't have known it was not Gwen Stefani on that stage.
Yeah, it's embarrassing for him, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's embarrassing watching him just like crumble over the fact that like Raquel is doing to him what she's done to Rachel, what she did to Sheena, what she's done to James.
Yep.
And that's what James was trying to tell him. He's like, I've been there. She did it to me.
You just have to like, you just have to move forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Sandoval is just like, well, she lied. And it's like, no shit, Sherlock. And you were just getting your dick wet.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. This was not. I don't know how affairs start, in all honesty, because I've never had one, nor do I care to. But like, you were just getting your dick wet.
I think that's definitely how it started. But I also think that they thought that they loved each other, because I think Tom is good at convincing himself, but he also at the same time was like pre-producing the show. Like, he was like, he was doing both at the same time. And I think the difference is Raquel definitely lied about shit, but I think she just fucking woke up and was like, no, I didn't love him, because it's toxic as fuck. It really was. So I think she wised up and was being honest to an extent. I don't think she was telling the full truth, but, you know, at least she's a little more self-aware. Tom is trying to, I think, almost convince himself that he threw his entire life away for this person he loved. And that's what James is trying to point out. It's like, you are rewriting history.
I so wish that they had, because like, Bravo does this thing where like people say something and then they'll like do like little flashbacks.
Yeah.
I wish that they had done a couple of clips of Tom like openly saying how in love he is with Ariana on camera.
Absolutely.
Because I wish they would have done that.
It sounded so familiar. didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like not the exact same words because obviously it's a different situation. But at the same time, it's like, I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
About Kristen and Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
It's not original. I think he doesn't have the capability. I mean, he's just emotionally immature, but I don't think he has the capability of being alone. Like, he just jumps from person to person. I don't think that man has been alone in 20 years.
Mm-mm.
It's
no,
it's
he's
gross.
Definitely like not just a serial, like whatever's worse than a serial dater. Like, he won't leave a relationship until he has another one lined up.
Serial monogamist.
Mm-hmm.
And even I use that term very loosely. Fucking loosely with him. I, you know, air quotes monogamous, because obviously he wasn't, but that's what he was portraying himself to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I totally agree. James is, I think, was actually trying to be helpful initially. Mm-hmm. And Tom took it such the wrong way. But I wish the rest of the cast would interact with Tom that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would much rather watch a show like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need to be eviscerated again. The reunion was entertaining, but I don't want to watch a full season of that shit.
No.
But, you know, at least he's being honest. He's engaging, mm-hmm, because obviously he has to, but he wasn't even that, like, crazy, you know? He was relatively calm. And was, mm-hmm, like, I'm not going to do this. I'm above this.
Yeah. When Tom got defensive and started getting his hackles up, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to open for you. I don't like your band. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But he said it in the James way, which kind of, I wouldn't want to be on the other end of a James, like, goodbye in that sense.
Yeah. But it could have been worse.
James could have done way worse.
Cause God, I just think back to season whatever it was that he joined the cast. Good God, that boy was all over the place and a fucking wreck.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very different James, in my opinion. Yeah.
Imagine like season 4, season 5 James going at him.
No.
Like, he would have insulted not just Tom, but his mom and his brother and his dead great aunt too. And
yeah.
To everyone who's ever come in contact with Tom Sandoval.
Exactly. It's not like he's perfect. I'm not saying that, because he does fuck up and he says shit he really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, he's grown up so much. So much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess that's enough of James praise. But we'll move on. We'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to skip over the sperm donor party for just a second, because they do that thing where they jump back and forth. But
mm-hmm.
So we go to Sandoval's house. This is while everybody's at the sperm donor party and he's with the dudes.
Mm-hmm. Craig, his new assistant, and Schwartzy.
Yes. The assistant looks like him, but younger.
The assistant looks nothing like him.
It's the same vibe. Same hair, the mustache, the
style. She looks like an LA hipster, but like his body, maybe it was like the wife beater he was wearing, but like
he's more muscular.
His body was weird. I'm sorry. I know that's really mean to say, but like he looked like one of those action figures, like the Hulk Hogan's from the 90s that you could like stretch out. He looked like one of those.
I don't think he looked that weird. I think he's just more muscular than Tom. Tom's kind of like a
lanky.
Yeah. Yeah. So he asked Schwartz to move in with him. Which I thank God Schwartz has enough brains to not do that.
Well, he wanted Schwartz to get alone with him. And I agree with Schwartz. They would look like nincompoops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He knows better. Because he knows, obviously, Sandoval is terrible with money. Terrible.
Clearly. And he has said two businesses with this man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's like, I'm not going to get any more financially entangled with this person.
Hell no.
Because he's right. Why is he going to pay rent and not earn any equity?
Yeah, that makes no fucking sense at all.
Yeah, Schwartz is correct. He's like, okay, I'll think about it. And he's going to think about it all the way home going, I can't believe how dumb Tom Sandoval was for asking me about that on fucking camera.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely not. Also, $6,000 a month is so much money.
If that's half, that means he's paying $12,000 a month.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
They ain't got money like that. I'm sorry.
No, they don't. Oh, my God. They would have had to sell it anyway. If Ariana was down to her last, what, couple thousand dollars? Is that what she said?
Mm-hmm.
How the hell are you going to afford a mortgage like that? That's crazy.
Well, I think the $6,000 is probably the post refinance price.
That's fair.
Because they probably got a much better interest rate initially, and they probably aren't paying that much.
It was back in 2019, so it was a pretty damn good interest rate back then. So,
And if they weren't total dum-dums, they would have refinanced in the 2020s when they got even better. So they probably were rocking around there with like a 1.5% interest rate.
They also have the HELOC loan. Like,
They got a lot of shit that probably was in their favor.
Yeah. Schwartz made a good call. That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're going to go to the sperm donor party.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much to really talk about here, in my opinion. They do pin the tail on the uterus with sperm.
They put the sperm inside the uterus and...
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's funny, but...
I want to know why the sperm were black.
Should have been white, huh?
Yeah.
Probably because it was a white background.
Mm-hmm.
But the tidbit at the beginning where Allie's kind of catching up with Katie and says something about being miserable, I think kind of pushed a button for Katie.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling
that's going to come back.
That's going to come back. But other than that, all they did was just pick the donor with the voting thing.
And the cryogenic guy was there.
He looked so fucking awkward standing there.
I'm like, he's like, why am I here?
Yeah, no, I don't think he wanted to be there. He had to be there on camera because they were advertising the clinic.
Correct.
Which you bet that guy does nothing but sit in his office all day.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I do want to point out, though, Ariana looked so fucking happy for Lala.
I know. When she picked, she was so excited for her.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. She looked so genuinely excited.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice to see because I feel like that has not even remotely happened this season.
No.
So then we're going to go to James and Allie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised they had this conversation on camera.
I don't feel like this was the first time this conversation has occurred.
You think so?
No, this did not feel like the first time they've talked about this kind of combo.
His reaction made me think it was.
I think his reaction was more so that I think he might still be a little raw from the conversation with Sandoval and like having all of the Raquel stuff brought back up. And he has that fear of not wanting to spend time with somebody if they're not being genuine with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's very clear of what he wants. Now, we should clarify what the hell we're talking about.
Sorry. Yeah. So
Allie comes back from the sperm donor party and she's like, well, you know, Lisa asked me when we're having kids. And she's like, well, I see children in my future, but I'm not ready yet. Allie's like 24.
Yeah.
So fair. I think it's fair for her to not be ready for marriage and kids.
Yes, I agree. But the conversation didn't, it started that way. But then when she, like they went more in depth, it didn't feel like that was the case.
Yes. So she continues on and says, like, she has never felt the calling or the need to be a mom, which again is very normal.
I
will openly admit at 24, I was like, meh.
Yeah. I can't fully, I can empathize. I had kids young. So, but I don't know. My heart broke for James, though.
I see where James, I think James wasn't upset with Allie. I think he was just being vulnerable in that moment because it is something he clearly wants. And I think with the right person, James would be a good husband and a good father.
Yeah. I hope that they are able to get on the same page to whatever end, whatever they decide. And I think it's fair for Allie to say, you know, I can't decide right now, but James also kind of has to do some inner work and decide at what point does that become a problem or a deal breaker.
But we also saw Allie reassuring James.
I loved that.
She does see a future. She's like, I wouldn't be with you if I didn't love you and if I didn't see a future with you. Just because it's not right this second doesn't mean it's not ever going to happen.
Yes.
And it's okay to not be the girl who dreams about her wedding.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe the two of them just elope. Like, it doesn't have to be this big to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think James is just worried that he's not going to be able to do those things if he stays with Allie. And I love them as a couple, but that is something that you have to be on the same page about. You have to be, or you are just signing yourself up for heartbreak later. It's too
absolutely
big.
Absolutely. And it is, I'm glad that they're having this conversation because it's worse to sweep it under the rug. Because if we're going to bring a parallel, what is the couple that had these conversations a lot and never had any resolution?
Tom and Ariana.
Because at Schwartz and Katie's wedding, he's like, would you want to get married ever? And she like hedged. Like, it's not something Ariana never wanted to be pregnant. She never wanted to get married. Like, she never wanted to do those things. And he was just, they were never on the same page about that. Like, when they started looking for houses, there's that clip of her, the realtor asking, like, how many are you ever going to get married? And he says yes. And she says no. How many kids do you want to have? And he's like, two or three. And she's like, zero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were so far apart on that. And it probably is not some kind of contributing factor to the ultimate demise of their relationship. Not saying that it excuses what Sandoval did whatsoever. But them not being on that same page and him not ultimately ever being able to get what he was hoping for probably in the long run wasn't good for their relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that particular sense, neither one of them did anything wrong in feeling that way, but they should have recognized that those are deal breakers you can't change.
Yeah.
If you're not on the same page about that, your relationship is going to be a mess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess I see where you're coming from, where they had the conversation before, but I'm still surprised they had it on camera. And honestly impressed, because that's a very difficult conversation to have, especially if you don't see the same things at the moment. So,
no, I feel like Allie and James do a really good job about being vulnerable and having real conversations on camera.
Agreed. Agreed. I thought they both handled it really well, actually.
So, I do too. It's really nice, considering I'm still going through my rewatch era, to see this version of James.
Yeah, absolutely. I know he can put his foot in his mouth and be an asshole sometimes, but overall, it's been so much growth from him. So much. And it's really nice to see.
It's really nice to see.
All right, well, let's do this last little bit.
Let's do it.
So we're back at brunch. At Tom Tom's.
Yep.
Everybody shows up.
Probably support Lisa, not the Toms.
I think it was a production thing. It's like, this is where everybody
why would everyone show up to brunch at Tom Tom?
Exactly. It's even if they weren't filming it for the show, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they asked some of them to come and mm-hmm. do it, because it's promotion. That's half the reason people go to the restaurants.
To potentially see these people.
Exactly. So I did find it interesting that James apologized to Sandoval.
It didn't feel super authentic to me.
It didn't, but I feel like he was actually trying to be the bigger person.
100%. He was like, I'm just going to apologize so it's not weird on the rare occasions we see each other.
Exactly. Again, Allie having just a wonderful influence on him.
Yes.
So then we have a very uncomfortable conversation with Katie and Lala and Allie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, as we mentioned previously, Allie told Katie that she was checking in on her. And I do think that that's what she was doing.
100%.
But she said that Lala was describing her as miserable.
She said unhappy, not miserable. Not wildly different words.
I'm sorry.
But Lala has used that word miserable yes. to describe Katie before.
She is pulling semantics here. You mm-hmm. might not, like, you might have not used that exact word, but that isn't exactly what you were trying to say. You mm-hmm. were implying that she's miserable. Now, I don't mm-hmm. know what the rest of the conversation was, because it didn't really go into more of it, because maybe she's saying, oh, you're a miserable person, or you're miserable right now and I'm worried about you. But it doesn't mm-hmm. seem like that's what Lala's doing. It's like she's trying mm-hmm. to call Katie out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Katie's doing anything wrong.
Katie's just vibing. She's living her own life, making out with that nanny chick, stealing chicks from Tom Schwartz, like doing her own damn thing.
Now, I did see a clip of Schwartz. I think it was on the after show, or maybe it was on Vial's podcast, because he was on with his new girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But he said, oh, Lala's getting a taste of some of what I dealt with Katie.
Mm-hmm.
She demands loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is really clear. She expects you to be ride or die, literally. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that that almost stems from how Schwartz treated her. Like,
because he was never very loyal to her.
Never. He was the first person to throw her under the bus every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
He rarely stuck by her. So I would imagine it is probably incredibly important to her that the people mm-hmm. she surrounds herself with actually give a shit about her. And mm-hmm. I do think she overreacted a little bit, but I understand where she's coming from. She was like, this person mm-hmm. doesn't mean anything to you. And mm-hmm. clearly they were very good friends, because both of them got upset. I think that that mm-hmm. was a real fight. That wasn't
fake.
Maybe it was like, oh, you have to bring this up in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a real fight, or not fight, but like disagreement between friends.
Mm-hmm. It's. Yeah, and I think it comes down to Katie's like, I have all the time in the world. Like, I will make time for you, but it's a two-way street when it comes to friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lala does have a lot going on.
100%. I'm not saying that Lala has all the time in the world, but if you value this friendship, you'll invest some time in it.
Exactly. Exactly. So the sad part is that currently they are feuding. They're not friends mm-hmm. right now, which is so sad to me, because it's clear that they both really care about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand what happened.
Maybe we'll find out later in the season.
Maybe. I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're going to talk about Sandoval again.
And Sheena, our favorite characters.
I cannot believe this is coming out of my mouth. I kind of agree with Sandoval here. I don't think Sheena should have written the song about him.
No. Like, it was she could have come up with lines that were digs at Rachel. I'm totally fine with Sheena having beef with Rachel because Rachel put an unnecessary restraining order against Sheena.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally fine with her having beef with Sheena. She could have written two lines about how stupid that whole situation was.
Absolutely.
She did not need to bring Sandoval into the mix.
Especially after he had a point. He's like, you and I are supposed to be mending fences. Why are you profiting off my misery? He's not wrong. Like, if you're trying to mend a friendship with somebody, you're not going to do something that would cause them more harm.
And the way she told them was so gross, disgusting. It was just like, ugh. Like, I put out this song. Like, I'm so cool. But it says something mean about you, but it's so good. You're going to just love it anyway. And I'm like, bitch, you are not that good.
No. She should have.
Auto-tune has gotten better.
She should have left it with Good as Gold. Like, you don't need to put out another song. Tried it once before. It didn't go well. Why are we doing this again? This is clearly like part of the Scandoval wave. And it was fucking entertaining, but it's not anymore.
No, we're over it.
It's awkward, like, and weird now.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus she can't sing.
No, and it's not that, because I played a clip of it, like, as the like song that
in the background
brought us into this last little bit. It's not that good.
At least Good as Gold was catchy.
Mm-hmm.
It was annoying. It's one of those things that like gets in your brain and never leaves.
Mm-hmm. It's like an earworm, but like one that'll like from Dune that'll like eat your brain.
They have worms that eat your brain in Dune?
No, it's like, you know how evil the worms are bad?
Yeah.
They're huge and they'll like eat you. But that's how Good as Gold is. It's like it's gonna get in your ear and eat your brain.
It'll never leave. It's like Friday with Rebecca Black.
They're probably written by the same person. Let's be honest.
Well, not the last one because
she wrote it. I'm gonna put air quotes on that one.
No, she definitely hired somebody to write it. She told them
that somebody was not Taylor Swift.
No. They are not a lyricist. Let's put it that way. So, I mean.
And then we get a little bit of what's going to happen next episode. That honestly looks more interesting than what happened this episode.
That looks like a way better episode than this one.
I have a feeling we're going to get real mad at Sheena.
I already don't like what she's doing.
That one line didn't like.
No. I don't know. It was like a meh episode.
Yeah. I liked having more James and Allie.
Yes. I did enjoy that. Like, let's give them more screen time, please.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts?
No. Hopefully next week is better.
Yeah. Same. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you want to check out what is coming up next on the pod, be sure to give us a follow over on Instagram. It's Mel and Jill Geek Out. Or if you have a suggestion of what we should be geeking out about next, shoot us an email over at jillandmelgeekout@gmail.com. Once again, my name is Melissa.
And I'm Jill.
And this has been Mel and Jill Geek Out. Bye, guys.
Bye.